Today's episode is brought to you by Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast. When you think about the future, what kind of technology do you envision? Whatever the future holds, artificial intelligence will undoubtedly be at the heart of it all. Join Graham Klass as he hosts Season 2 of Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast, and hear from the minds transforming healthcare, retail, entertainment, personal computing, and more with the help of AI. Tune in every other Tuesday and explore the latest technology that's changing our world today and creating a more accessible tomorrow. Listen to Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What's up, this your boy Lil Duval, and check out my podcast, Conversations with Unc, on the Black Effect Podcast Network. Each and every Tuesday, Conversations with Unc podcast feature casuals and in-depth talk about ebbs and flows of life and the pursuit of happiness. Unlike my work on stage, I tap into a more serious and sensitive side to give life advice and simply offer words of encouragement, yet remind folks to never forget to laugh. Every Tuesday, listen to Conversations with Unc, hosted by Lil Duval on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Presented by AT&T. Connecting changes everything.
Xumo Play is your destination for endless entertainment. With a diverse lineup of 350-plus live channels, movies, and full TV series, you'll easily find something to watch right away. And the best part? It's all free. Love music? Get lost in the 90s with iHeart 90s, dance away with hip-hop beats, and more on the iHeart Radio music channels. No logins, no signups, no accounts, no hassle. So what are you waiting for? Start streaming at play.xumo.com or download from the app and Google Play stores today. All you can stream with Xumo Play.
Asking the right questions can greatly impact your future, especially when it comes to your finances. So if you're looking for a financial advisor you can trust, certified financial planner professionals are committed to acting in your best interest. That's why it's got to be a CFP. Find your CFP professional at letsmakeaplan.org.
Welcome to Stuff to Blow Your Mind from HowStuffWorks.com.
Hey, welcome to Stuff to Blow Your Mind. My name is Robert Lamb.
And I'm Julie Douglas.
You know, Julie, I take MARTA, Atlanta's public transportation, to work every day. I know you've taken it sometimes yourself.
Yes, I have frequented MARTA myself.
Yeah, and so you're completely surrounded by strangers. And if you're like me, you kind of keep your head down and eyes on your book and head in some music and try not to make eye contact.
No eye contact. That's the first rule.
Yeah, but you still can't help it. Get a glimpse of people out of in your peripheral vision.
Yeah.
And
or sneak looks.
Yeah, sneak looks. And occasionally, if you can get away with it, like genuine people watching.
Yeah.
But that's more of a sunglasses thing. But at any rate, though, when I first started taking it, I had this situation where out of the corner of my eye, I was like, oh my goodness, that's my my friend Becky who takes this this train as well. And I look over and upon closer examination and stringent questioning, I find out that it is not her.
The questioning, huh?
Yeah. I drilled her for about an hour and she finally, fessed up. No, I'm not really Becky.
Uh-huh. But, call the police.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But at any rate, I still see her occasionally and I think of her as faux Becky, as this doppelganger, this double that Becky has in the world and apparently has never met and doesn't know about and probably mm-hmm. to Becky doesn't look a lot like Becky. But I even encountered her in yoga class one time and I wanted to come up and be like, you're faux Becky. What are you doing outside of MARTA? But this experience though of seeing somebody else's double or seeing your own double,
mm-hmm.
you find it throughout human culture in different way, shape, and form. It might be
right.
Spirit, especially the classic German Doppelganger.
Doppelganger.
Doppelganger. If it's to really.
Yeah.
I
tried it and I don't know.
You gave it a good sprockets go there. the idea that there or. You know, invasion of the body snatchers, pod
right.
people, that there are doubles out there trying to replace you or replace people you love. It's just a common item in folktale and fiction throughout history.
Yeah. I mean, it means double walker, right? In German.
I believe so.
And it actually, the pure idea, I suppose, in folklore is that it's your evil twin.
Mm-hmm.
And if you were to be visited by such, it would portend death.
Ah,
yeah.
And not every culture has it laid out like Star Trek, where you can tell your evil twin is evil because of their goatee, right?
Right, exactly. Yeah, and actually, I mean, there are a lot of people who have said that they saw their doppelganger, and Percy Shelley is one of them, Abraham Lincoln.
That falls into the whole, did Lincoln really get shot or was it his twin?
Right, yeah. Right. I mean, it gets into some creepy territory.
Yeah, and, you know, as we're going to explore in this podcast, there are various types of what we'll just refer to as doppelganger situations, encounters with a mysterious double of some kind that have a definite scientific explanation. And then that's what's fascinating about it, because something has clearly been happening to the mind. So kind of like we discussed in our episode on alien abduction, something is clearly happening that causes people to have extraordinary encounters with what seems to be the supernatural. And it becomes a part of the stories we tell. But you can, when you really examine it and boil it down with modern science, you find some genuine reasons for what's happening.
Yeah, it's interesting that you bring that up, because in the alien abduction, there are always these memes, right? These ideas that have a certain thread running through them. So a lot of alien abductions sound like the same sort of thing, right? Little green men, weird light, so on and so forth. And that shares some similarities with doppelgangers, I think.
Yeah, because it's like you end up, say, you see yourself or you see somebody who you think has been replaced.
Yeah.
Your mind ends up coming up with these reasons for it.
Yeah.
There's a story. They're replacing somebody. There's some sort of nefarious scheme at work.
The thing is, our understanding of it now is so much more nuanced. And so in the past, I think we were like, oh, that person is just certifiably nuts, right?
Yeah.
But now through neuroscience, we have a better understanding of it as an actual secondary condition.
Yes.
So if you had brain lesions, if you had an epileptic fit or some other neurological damage to your brain, it's very possible that you could have this type of delusion in which you had a doppelganger of yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Or I might even imagine that you right now have been replaced, that you are an imposter.
Whoa.
Yeah.
It's possible. For you new listeners, you don't even know. You have no frame of reference.
That's right.
Yeah.
I mean, I've never seen you wear that shirt before. That's odd, the way you're shuffling your papers.
Well, let's get into it then. Let's look at the first of these doppelganger syndromes, and this is Capgras syndrome.
That's right. And this was discovered by French scientist Joseph Capgras in 1923, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
This syndrome basically breaks down to you have end up with this strong suspicion that imposters are replacing friends and or loved ones.
Right. And everywhere else, you're completely functional, right?
Right.
Like your logic is completely intact. Nothing wrong with you except that.
Right. It's the pod people thing, the invasion of the body snatchers.
Right.
Something you run into, say, your mother or a close friend, and you're talking to them. They look like your mother, but there's something off. There's something that's not right, that's not clicking. And you realize, and your brain totally rationalizes that something has replaced them.
Right.
Or someone.
And you've actually covered this in a blog post before. There was this one specific instance where there was a guy, I think he was maybe in his 20s at the time, but he was being treated by Dr. V.S. Ramachandran.
Mm-hmm.
And he had an accident. He had some brain damage. And honestly, he was perfectly fine, cognitively, you know, functioning, except that he was convinced that his parents had been replaced by imposters.
Mm-hmm.
And were, you know, complaining to them day and night and basically saying, like, you know what? That lady that was here this morning that made me the breakfast, I like her better. Those eggs were really good. You know, sort of implying that the person that was standing right there, his mother, was the imposter.
So the way this breaks down is that each of us has a visual system and a limbic system, which helps to generate and process emotions.
Right.
All right. So there's a screw up in the visual system here. And then it's left to other parts of the brain to interpret that data. Particularly the, amygdala.
Right. Right. The amygdala is the emotion processing center, right?
Right.
Okay.
And, so it has to make sense of this, right? He's like, it gauges the emotional significance of what you're looking at, trying to figure out, you know, what's going on there. Is this a threat? Is this a danger? Is this something mm-hmm. to ignore? And so it ends up getting excited and it ends up applying an interpretation or a meaning to it.
Mm-hmm.
So it's, one way I was thinking of it, it's kind of like, say you have an editor and a journalist at a newspaper.
Okay.
And say that's just like a star journalist, right? And the editor just will always go to bat for that journalist to defend what they've written. You know, someone says, "Hey, I don't think they've got the story straight in this article." They say, "No, totally. This person's always done right by us. This guy knows his story."
Right.
And then imagine that journalist, I don't know, screws up one day. Maybe has a head injury or something, and is just totally misinformed on something. The journalist is still going to go to bat for him. I mean, the editor's still going to go to bat for that journalist and be like, "Look, this person's totally knows their beat. They've got all the facts. Totally trust them."
Stellar creds.
So it's kind of a similar situation with these two systems in the brain. This one system is getting something wrong, but the other side is totally going to go to bat for it and say, "Yeah, there's something wrong with this person. It must be a double. It ends up creating a story in which this neural problem makes sense."
Well, that's what I think is so fascinating about this, is that you've got the fusiform gyrus, right? Mm-hmm. Which is the part of your brain that recognizes the face. And so it's recognizing the mom and dad's face, right? In the case of David, I believe, is the subject here. Mm-hmm. David's mom, dad knows it. But that the thread to the amygdala is all sorts of crazy, shredded, or, you know, what it's not working. Mm-hmm. And so that emotional processing isn't there. So David can say, "Yes, that is my mother. That is my father. And yet I don't feel those feelings of love for them." And then the brain can then take that, as you say, anxiety sets in and start to weave a story around that. That is fascinating that your brain is capable of doing that. That instead of sustaining brain damage and having your entire brain dim like a light bulb, you know, everything else is functioning except for this one little part, and the brain is like, "You know what? We'll just run with this.
Yeah.
Try to make sense of this with the data that we do have."
Yeah, we're not going to shut down production just because something's a little fishy. We're gonna work with
it. Yeah, and therefore, you know, David's parents, they must be imposters. That's what makes sense, right? Because if you don't have that feeling of love, that connection, then that would be what your brain might perceive.
Yeah, and this can be the interesting thing about this too, is it's not necessarily like a situation where it has to be extreme brain trauma. Like alcoholism can play a role in this. Pituitary tumors, migraines, severe
That's
head
right.
injuries, Alzheimer's, schizoaffective disorders, there can be a whole host of causes for this.
Yeah.
And in many cases, you can effectively treat the primary cause. And this doppelganger or mysterious double or body snatcher scenario will just fade away.
That's right. If it's a brain tumor, you could treat the brain tumor and hopefully it would completely go away. Or you could use antidepressants if it's not a brain tumor or in conjunction with it. If it's dementia, though, that's a problem because you're continually going to have some sort of deterioration going on in the brain. So in some cases with dementia, it actually worsens.
Yeah, and when it worsens, it can also end up with situations where an individual attacks or becomes violent towards the other individual.
Yeah, you know? I have this idea in my head, and I don't know if it's some sort of myth, but I feel like someone perceived their family member to be a robot and actually ended up decapitating the person to see, to verify whether or not they had some robotic circuitry going on.
Huh.
Yeah.
Well,
so
that's one way to tell.
Yeah. I mean, that's the extreme. So if you have a loved one asking about where your lithium ion battery pack is, seek shelter.
This presentation is brought to you by Intel, sponsors of tomorrow.
Yeah, and indeed, if you have any suspicion that somebody has been replaced in your life by an imposter, go to the doctor first.
Yeah.
Before you call the police or take matters into your own hand, because I almost guarantee it's something neurological going on and not some sort of twisted scheme to disrupt your life.
Yeah, yeah. And we know this too because Ramachandra, the doctor treating David, he could actually test the emotional response and verify this lack of emotional response. He uses the galvanic skin response. And of course, we know that you attach electrodes to your hand. And then when you think about someone that you know, a loved one, in theory, you should start sweating, right? Because you're having some sort of emotional response.
Right.
And when Ramachandran tested this, there was absolutely no response whatsoever to his parents. It was absolutely flat. So he knew, he had some verification that this was what was going on. In addition, and I thought this was really interesting, David, the subject, when he would speak to his parents on the phone, he didn't have the feeling that they were imposters. He was like, well, where have you been?
Wow. So like on the phone, everything's fine. Yeah.
Absolutely fine. God,
when you bring in the visual realm.
Yeah. And so, what Ramachandran posited is that the auditory circuitry was left intact during the damage that he sustained and that it was actually fine. And he ended up verifying that as well. So it's just really kind of trippy that he could get on the phone with his parents and be like, oh my God, did you know that you've been taken over by someone? Like they're in your house right now pretending to be you.
I wonder how come like the mom couldn't call and say like, look, my double is going to come over and cook breakfast this morning. I know her breakfast isn't as good as the breakfast that I cook, but just be polite.
Right.
Be kind, and I'll talk to you tonight on the phone.
Yeah, yeah. Who knows? Maybe she tried it, you know. Maybe that made it worse, though, because then he was like, okay, now I know for sure.
Yeah.
Because my real mom on the phone told me.
It's true. All right, well, that's one doppelganger down. Let's turn to another interesting syndrome, and that would be the syndrome of subjective doubles.
Yes.
Now, this is not a... you're on the train and you look over and you see somebody who looks like a friend of yours. This is where you get on the train and maybe at the far end of the car you climb onto, maybe just exiting as you come on, you see yourself.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's kind of terrifying, right?
Yeah. This is more like the classic German doppelganger. There is someone out there that has either taken on my appearance or is trying to take on my appearance, and clearly they're up to no good.
Well, in a study that you actually shared with me, there was the case of Miss A, right?
Oh, yes, Miss A.
Yeah, she 18 years old. She thought that her neighbor was putting on these elaborate prosthetic masks and wigs and masquerading as her.
And the gang was putting
the
other person up to it.
That's right. There was some sort of puppet master gang out there that was putting her up to it, and those people were spying on her or whatnot. So there was some sort of paranoia that's woven into this as well. And these doubles actually replicated themselves when she was admitted to a hospital, and she got very upset and insisted that the doubles of her be unmasked. Here's instances where violence come into play.
Yeah, like she was actually like leaping at the double and like trying to attack it. Her perceived double, and insisting that the doctors tear the mask off. Because she thought that she believed that they were, quote, putting on a wig and a mask and walking from room to room stealing things in order to incriminate her.
Yeah. So, yeah. It's kind of sad.
Yeah.
And what they found is, though, that she suffered from epileptic seizures. So, again, here's another case where it's secondary. She may have had some other conditions that had to do with mental instability in addition to that. Mm-hmm. It was a little bit unclear from that study. But what was clear is that this could definitely be some sort of indirect process going on.
Yeah, it seems like if you're the type of, if you've suffered through something or you just end up with the mental, architecture that makes you think people are out to get you or you're very suspicious of people, it seems like the stronger that is, the stronger that's going to be when you perceive a double.
Right. Right. And she was treated with a number of things, antidepressants, electroshock therapy.
Yeah.
So, sad. But what I thought was interesting about this is that we have heard about these epileptic auras before, that there's this sense that someone might be there. And Susan Blackmore, we've talked about her before. She's shown up in our abductions podcast before, and she's also a mimeticist.
She's the one with blue hair.
She's blue, pink, yellow, sorts of stuff. She's a skeptic and a psychoanalytic chick, so to speak. But she's great. And she actually visited a Dr. Michael Persinger at one point to undergo some manipulation on her own temporal lobes to see if she could have this sort of sense of someone else being there, this hallucination, or rather this delusion, replicated in herself. And Persinger used these magnets on her temporal lobes.
This is the so-called God machine, right?
Yeah, he's done a couple of different things. Mm-hmm. But the God machine, yeah, was nicknamed that because it those sort of euphoric feelings of another are present, hence the God machine. But she actually had the same thing happen to her. So when he used those magnets on her temporal lobes, she felt like there was someone in the room with her. So it's really amazing that we can get it down to this point in science where we can actually duplicate the duplication, so to speak.
Yeah, and it's almost kind of like a really potent form of déjà vécu, you know? It's except really, really strong.
Yeah.
And very disorienting.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, and it's actually kind of a tragedy, right? Because, mm-hmm. I mean, for people who cannot alleviate it, I mean, the suicide rate is pretty high.
Yeah.
It's a little bit depressing.
Yeah, it's easy to look in from the outside of pretty much any kind of mental illness or a neurological disorder and say, oh, well, that, you know, I can see the exit from that maze. But mm-hmm. when you're actually in that mental labyrinth, it's not so simple.
Yeah. And it's another example of how your mind is really beautiful, but can be really sick at the same time.
Yeah.
You know? But another example of this, clonal pluralization of self.
Now, this one's great. This is more like you're on the train and it's not that you're seeing your double, but you are seeing yourself. That person isn't an imposter, but it's another you.
Yeah.
It's kind of like any type of, in any of these films where like suddenly a person clones himself and completely illogically, it's an actual double of them, or somebody travels in time and is hanging out with themselves. It's that sort of scenario.
It's sort of like if my twin all of a sudden showed up.
Yeah.
Yeah. And which is the happened to this 86-year-old man, right?
Yes. I don't think we have a name for him.
No, we don't.
Yeah. 86-year-old. I believe he's Hungarian. Mentioned in a 2009 study, and yeah, suddenly this doppelganger shows up. It's not even a twin, but it's perceived as him, like
as
right
him,
down to the
yeah.
clothes. He's wearing the same clothes as this guy.
Yeah.
And, this is a real, twist on our last scenario because there's not like a, oh my goodness, I need to bar the door because, my doppelganger has shown up. He's just like,
"Oh,
I have company. Come in.
Yeah.
Come in. Let's have tea. Let's do crossword puzzles."
And they did. They literally did crossword puzzles together. And that's the interesting thing to note here.
Well, I don't know if they
literally in his mind.
It's difficult in this scenario.
Right, right. But, literally in his mind, they did it together. But so for him, it was a sense of comfort, right?
Yeah, yeah. It's like this guy's lonely. And then who better to hang out with but yourself when they show up on your doorstep?
Right, right.
And he was kind of like, well, I seem to have this twin and I think we're the same person. Let's do some experiments. So the crosswords was one. Like they each supposedly took the crosswords into a different room.
Right.
And they filled out the crossword puzzle. And then when they came in, to compare notes, they had the exact same answers.
Can you imagine that?
I can imagine it even more if they were playing Scrabble against each other. Well, no, they wouldn't have the same tiles. Or would they? I don't know. This is,
yeah.
It's really hard to predict.
Cause you're in pretend world now,
yeah.
right? But he did have brain lesions, mm-hmm. right? And the neurologist, Dr. Feinberg, actually said, something along the lines of the brain lesions and neuropsychological impairments are necessary, right? For this condition. But the full development of these syndromes depends upon the individual's responses to his or her defects as much as the defects themselves, which I thought was interesting because they had gone on in the study to say that clearly he was lonely.
Yeah.
And that this twin, although it's a figment of his imagination brought on by the lesions, it still had this subjective ring to it where it was like, you know, as long as I'm going to have this delusion, I might as well, copy myself and have a buddy, you know?
Another experiment that he performed with the double, according to this guy, was that one of them would stand in the house and the other would stand outside. And the one standing outside would describe what the one inside was seeing on the wall, describe like the exact size and details of paintings that the guy had framed, because they could see through each other's eyes.
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, I laugh, but it's just kind of sort of funny. And there's also another aspect to this, going off on what Feinberg said and talking about how there's the subjective quality to it.
Mm-hmm.
Dr. Carol Berman talked about how the negative aspects of a person, that are psychologically turned into a disassociation with that person. And this is more in Capgras, right?
Yeah.
Where you think there's an imposter. So in other words, if I think that you're an imposter, Robert, and let's say that you're, you're tapping your fingers on the desk.
Okay.
Then I might say, like, that might actually annoy me. And that might turn into another reason why I think that you're an imposter.
Huh.
And what is so interesting about the blog post that you have, you've got an embed in there of the YouTube video with David. And you can see David talking to his father and saying, you know, you drive too fast. But my real dad, like, he's a much better driver than you. And it's like this ultimate passive aggressive act of saying, you know, could you slow down a little bit?
Huh.
So, I mean, and of course, David is not sitting there pretending to have cap grouch just so that he can, you know, say this little zinger of passive aggressiveness. But it's an interesting side note to see that these negative attributes that they see in other people then sort of underscore the, their feelings for that person being an imposter.
Huh.
Yeah.
Now, there's an interesting end to the story of the 86-year-old Hungarian man.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, and that's that they treated him. They treated him with various medications, and his condition improved. But so this double ends up, for all intents and purposes, vanishing.
Yeah.
But again, the mind has to make sense of this. It has to roll with these changes.
It can't just vanish
right.
And go away.
So the version, I guess it could if one were, say, engaging in some sort of the type of supernatural occurrence where it would make sense for this person to vanish.
Oh, okay,
you know,
right.
Like if it was like an angel or an alien, I don't know.
Or they're like Doug Henning is my
yeah,
double.
That's your double. But the way this guy interpreted it was that they had merged into one person. They had come together, and he would talk to himself for a while, like there was still. Like it didn't just completely vanish; it kind of
right.
faded, and so he would continue to talk to himself a fair amount of the time, but there wasn't necessarily a sense of a physical other,
right?
And eventually, it got back to where he could, you know, he was a lot more normal,
right?
In his daily life,
yeah, yeah. And again, here's this person who, other than this, is functioning fine in the world.
Mm.
So good thing that he got cohesive with his personalities. There's one other one in this sort of, what you would call delusional misidentification syndromes. And that is the mirrored self-identification.
Oh yeah. This one's pretty interesting too, because it brings to mind the classic gag that, as far as I know, originated in the Marx Brothers film, Duck Soup.
Yes.
Where, you know, if you haven't seen that film or this scene, then you've seen some version of it in a cartoon or a sitcom, and it's where one person is pretending to be the mirror image of the other. Maybe it's like you have like a picture frame, but there's no actual glass or mirror.
Right.
And so one person thinks, oh, that's my reflection, but the person that's dressed like them or looks like them on the other side is just shadowing their movements. And so the one person on one side will move around and suddenly make a strange movement to try and throw off his quote reflection.
Right.
And eventually in some cases, reveal the false reflection, for what it is.
This is also a mime exercise too,
yes.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. But they found a case where there were two dementia patients, right? They weren't miming or, were they doing Marx Brother routines? But they could no longer recognize their faces in the mirror.
Right. Now, they could recognize other people's faces in mirrors. So it wasn't like just a weird, screwy mirror thing. It was when they were looking at their own face in the mirror, they were like, who is this guy?
Right.
Who is this handsome devil? I don't know.
but they also suffered from right side brain lesions.
Mm-hmm.
And again, this is the portion of the brain, the fusiform gyrus, that's associated with self-recognition.
Yeah, like even if you're using self-describing adjectives.
Yeah.
This is the portion that lights up.
Yeah. Yeah. I guess you would say it's similar to face blindness, right?
Yeah.
Except for that with face blindness, you are blind to everyone all the time.
Yeah.
Right. Even yourself.
Right. But this is more selective. Just like, I don't know who that is. So I guess that's me, but doesn't look like me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So the final specter that I thought was interesting that popped up in some of our research is something called the third man phenomenon or the third man factor.
Oh yeah, this one's really fascinating. So you've probably heard some version of this story before, and that is you have some sort of extreme situation. It's explorers in the Antarctic or the Arctic. It's climbers on Everest. It's you know, people in one of the World Trade Center towers.
Yeah.
You're in an extreme situation. It's life and death. And suddenly there's somebody there to help you.
Right. You're like emotionally, you're haggard. Your body physically is at its end of its rope, right?
Yeah. And then it's like a guardian angel, you know, an alien, a spirit, you know, something supernatural has appeared. And there's this sense of maybe things are going to be all right. And in some cases, it's actually manifests as a physical helping hand, like somebody is helping you up. And then they're gone after things are cool. It's like a superhero has jumped in and saved the day.
No, you're right. In every single story, once they have surmounted their obstacle, that person vanishes, right?
Yeah, and then they're like, who was that masked man?
Yeah. A good example is Frank Smith, 1933, climbing Mount Everest. He went with a group of people. He was the last one to make it to the summit at this point.
Mm-hmm.
He was feeling weak and hopeless. He didn't know if he could go on. And so he had...
And he's in the death zone, right?
Yeah.
Low oxygen area. I think we've discussed this in the past. Like, this is a good model for some of the things that can happen in space when
yes.
you have low oxygen levels aboard a spaceship.
Right.
It can really mess with your mind.
Yeah. I mean, at this point, you're not thinking clearly anyway, right?
Mm-hmm.
But the whole time he had been discussing something with a person that he felt was behind him the whole time. And at this point where he was at his most hopeless, he actually turned to get some food and share it with this person and was completely shocked that person wasn't there to receive like the other half of his whatever a 1933 Clif Bar is or whatever.
I interpret it as like a half of a tuna fish sandwich on white bread when I read the account.
You did?
Yeah. Listen, I mean, that's the ideal food to split with, you know, an imaginary devil, I think.
Huh. Get some protein, carbs.
Yeah. And tasty.
Mayonnaise. Mm-hmm. But he actually this is a quote from him. He said, "It seemed that I was tied to my companion by a rope, and if I slipped, he would hold me. I remember constantly glancing back over my shoulder."
Hmm.
And again, it's not a surprise, right, that this is happening. The surprise is that it's happening so frequently in so many different instances.
Yeah, again, you see it happen in just various accounts of it. I mean, you have other famous stories from, Sir Ernest Shackleton during his trans-Antarctic expedition.
Yeah.
There was the sense that they were being accompanied by this third man. It's referenced in by T.S. Eliot, who is that third walking beside you.
And is that the group, too, that perceived him? It wasn't just him?
Yes, I believe it was.
They all discussed it later and thought there was another person that wasn't there?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's interesting. I was reading an article on Scientific American that nails down some of the actual reasons for what's happening, and they're all pretty interesting. One is that one factor is isolation.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're in a case where it's like one guy out in the middle of nowhere, or even if it's like an extreme situation and you have, you know, there are other people around, there's a certain isolation in near death experience. It seems.
Yeah.
And so this isolation can trigger the mind to hallucinate the normal feelings we have when we're working or traveling with other people around. You know, it's like we're constantly surrounded. There are people in our peripheral vision, and the mind can sort of hallucinate that they're still there in some fashion.
Yeah.
The other possibility is rational cortical control over emotions shuts down due to oxygen deprivation,
mm-hmm.
such as you know, death zone. Sleep deprivation or exhaustion, which are certainly, you know, if you're struggling for your life, you may not have time for a nap, especially if going to sleep in sub-zero temperatures would mean death. And so this opens the door for inner voices and imaginary companions. And this reminds me a lot of some of the accounts that have been studied of alien abduction. The individual who was on the bike ride and had been up for a long time was just pushing himself to the limits, and then he falls out and interprets the events as aliens coming to abduct him.
Well, what's interesting about this is that in every single one of these accounts, you know, in some of the Capgras and the other misidentification syndromes and abductions, mm-hmm. epileptic seizures, and the auras and delusions that accompany them, the temporoparietal junction is the at issue, right? And mm-hmm. so the temporal lobe is responsible for processing images and long-term memory. And then the parietal lobe is what helps us map objects as coordinates. So when you talk about seeing someone in your periphery and misunderstanding that, that's the juncture that is processing all of this information. And so, even if you think that there's some sort of truth to what maybe the person's personal count is, you have to think about how in every single one of these cases, that's the area of the brain that's being compromised.
Yeah. Yeah. Another thing too, the temporal lobe, handles, body schema, which we've mentioned on the tool users podcast, that's how when you are using a tool, it becomes an extension of your own body because it's tied up in the body schema. Well, the temporal, lobe body schema can be tricked in some cases into interpreting a double. So instead of interpreting just your body doing things, it kind of gets double vision.
Yeah. Here's your brain taking the data that it has available to it and constructing these stories.
Yeah. So you can imagine like this sort of double vision where instead of you opening the door to escape the burning building, it's interpreted as some other person opened that door so you could escape and the brain writes the rest.
Right. And it's fascinating that in that life or death situation that it can spring from the font of fabulism and create this little story to get you some fire up under your bum and get you going.
Yeah. So as far as fictional doppelgangers and mysterious doubles go, do you have any particular favorites?
There are a lot of them, but I really like Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde. Because I think that's the perfect evil twin example.
That is. That's one of the really iconic ones for sure.
Yeah. You?
The ones that I really like I love a story about an evil doppelganger. I'm a real sucker for those. But I also really like the ones that are kind of like the story of the 86-year-old Hungarian man, where the doppelganger is either accepted with or just dealt with in a kind of curiosity. Alain Robe Grillet, the now deceased French author, had a book called Repetition, which starts out with the narrator discussing his double that he occasionally encounters while I think typically on the train, and so that's a really interesting book. And then a horror author, Brian McNaughton, has a story called the Vendrin Worm, which deals with a guy who will occasionally glimpse this stranger, this kind of double that he can't quite explain, but ends up being tied to something really ghastly and horrifying. But before he finds out the reason, he's just kind of like, oh, there's my double, you know? And you just sort of come to accept it, which I find is a really interesting take on the whole scenario.
It's very European of you just to be like, you know, I'm just going to go with it.
It's kind of what the brain does, you know? In many of these cases, it's like, let's go with it. Let's make sense of it. Let's do it.
Yeah, I mean, like the American mentality is conquer it, right?
Yes.
Let's it some drugs.
Attack it. Give it some drugs. Call the police. Call your mother. Whatever it takes. So if you have any interesting tales of doppelgangers and mysterious doubles in your life, if the reflection in the mirror doesn't look quite right and you don't have a good Marx Brothers explanation for it, let us know. You can drop by Facebook or Twitter. We are Blow the Mind on both of those.
And if you or your doppelganger would like to drop us a line, please do so at blowthemind@howstuffworks.com.
For more on this and thousands of other topics, visit HowStuffWorks.com. To learn more about the podcast, click on the podcast icon in the upper right corner of our homepage. The HowStuffWorks iPhone app has arrived. Download it today on iTunes.
Today's episode is brought to you by Visible. The future of wireless is here, and it's transparent. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon, just $25 a month, every month, taxes and fees included. No hidden fees, no surprises, no, really.
What are you waiting for? Get with the times and switch to Visible at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan for data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Xumo Play is your destination for endless entertainment. With a diverse lineup of 350-plus live channels, movies, and full TV series, you'll easily find something to watch right away. And the best part? It's all free. Love music? Get lost in the 90s with iHeart 90s, dance away with hip-hop beats, and more on the iHeart Radio music channels. No logins, no signups, no accounts, no hassle. So what are you waiting for? Start streaming at play.xumo.com or download from the app and Google Play stores today. All you can stream with Xumo Play.
Xfinity has free premium networks for everyone this month, no matter what kind of entertainment you love. Addicted to true crime? Catch killer cases and more spine-tingling shows on A&E Crime Central. Crave adventure? Explore Asian action movies on Hayah. Searching for something extreme? Check out skating, snowboarding, and more on Fuel TV Plus, the global home of action sports. And find crowd-pleasing bops on iHeartRadio's Hit Nation playlist. There's new free shows and movies to love every week. Say free this week in your Xfinity voice remote.